kids, can you hear me?
Welcome to the Grateful Shows podcast. Long-form reviews exploring the world of Grateful Dead live shows through history, philosophy, fiction, and poetic meditations. I'm your guide, host, and author, J.Y. Pod, asking you to join me as we take a step back. This edition of the Grateful Shows podcast takes us back to the May 1980 Spring Tour Season 1, or better known as Tour Book 1, here at Grateful Shows. In this special edition, we are going to take a breather and do a quick wrap-up of what just happened over the last six shows back in 1980. Shall we go? First of all, thank you all for taking the time to listen to Grateful Shows wherever you are in the world. It is my privilege to share this time with you. And now that the tour is over, it's time for a quick recap. I won't get into what's best or worst. Leave that to the pundits smarter than I to judge. But I will offer some background about the tour, which might help bring certain elements into focus. First, some tour stats. If you suddenly materialized at the Civic Center in Baltimore and drove the entire tour to Portland, Maine, then abruptly vanished after the show, leaving no trace of your vehicle or yourself, you would have traveled about 845 miles, logging roughly 14 to 16 hours on the road. Gas was expensive then, averaging $1.25. The first time it was consistently over a dollar, which meant you had to sell more merch, food, beer, or whatever have you, on the lot. Those hailing from Greenwich need not apply. And by the way, with inflation, that rounds out to about $5 a gallon in today's money, so teaming up with friends or strangers to split gas costs was an effective cost strategy. The U.S. was in a terrible state, with 14% inflation, stagflation, moral decline, and widespread malaise. In January of 1980, we slipped into a recession, and the auto industry was hit hard. So bad that President Jimmy Carter controversially bailed out Chrysler, and it happened right in the middle of tour. What were we thinking? Yes, things looked bleak, but at least you could ride like the wind with Christopher Cross or Call Me with Blondie. Two hits with constant radio airplay at the time. Oh yeah, Air Supply was Lost in Love. Let's keep it that way. Pink Floyd's The Wall tour had taken place earlier in the year, and teachers across the country were getting fed up with the grammatically incorrect "we don't need no education," a mantra that swept the country, oblivious to the dark sarcasm dripping from the lyrics. So in May of 1980, what the Grateful Dead offered was an escape from the geopolitical turmoil in the Mideast, the Cold War, the hand-wringing over the sudden influx of Cubans fleeing to America, the rotten, infested economy, the whole damn thing. Maybe this is the why we chose to begin Grateful Shows with this era. It is so innocuous, yet filled with many overlooked great tunes. Spring 1980 lacks the shine found in the fall acoustic set-filled shows in New York, San Francisco, and New Orleans. It isn't even as highly regarded as the 15th anniversary shows, nor the epic Summer of Love ending dream in Lewiston, Maine in September, over Labor Day weekend, or the sharp playing found way down in Alligator Alley. Here, you find a scattering of mid-sized city locals, college students, and those fed up with it all trying to understand the new keyboardist playing with a new Grateful Dead band that, while sometimes feeling stuck in the mud, keeps the gears turning long enough to break free. And maybe that's all we want as a group. 15 years of this, and really, what do we have to show for it? There has to be a better way, a newer way, a way to make a change in life. And if it means repeating the same steps, sharpening them for years until you become an overnight success, then that is exactly what the Deadheads were willing to do. The dawn of yuppiedom would soon emerge, and the temptation of money, power, and influence would be thrust right under our noses, hoping we'll take an intoxicating whiff. Some of us bit, and some of them bit off way more than they could chew, resulting in tragedy not narrowly averted. Then there were those who wanted to bite, but never latched on properly. As Jerry Garcia once said in an interview regarding the Arista years, "We tried to sell out, but no one was buying." An apt encapsulation of both the time and the band. Musical analysis. The tunes. We got 68 different songs in six shows, Exactly half of them were not repeats. Not bad. And although Alabama Getaway was tied for the most played song at 5, it consistently went for the jugular, a tour de force with the band really pushing the limits of both speed and power. Feel Like a Stranger was the other, played 5 times, but man, this thing took on a life of its own. The placement was all over, twice in the first set and 3 times in the second. Brent really shined on this one, adding dissonance and stark psychedelic vibes. The second set transitions were exceptionally wicked. Have a listen, they're all worth it. It was an exciting time for The Stranger, until it was finally tamed and placed in the first set. And Althea. We still prefer the fall 1979 versions, but Jerry really connected with Althea, with a deep, introspective vibe that brought out some of our most creative elements, and that's a good thing. The pair of China riders on this tour were excellent as well. So much high energy. Do not pass go until you give them a spin. Now let's talk about length. We got a 15-minute Playing in the Band in Baltimore and a 14-minute He's Gone in Hartford, making them the 2 longest tunes of the tour. Cornell gifted us a 13-minute Terrapin to round out the trio of long tunes. But what about the shows? With so many musical treasures to discover, it's best to explore them on your own. But if we had to choose, Hartford stood out as the most innovative, especially with that wild second set. The highlight being Comes a Time. It was truly a moment to cherish, a moment that made the tour worthwhile for everyone who attended, even the guys with the heavy artillery. The 7 songs before drums are worthy of their own release, a must-listen on its own, a foil to Tapers Everywhere. So with Hartford as the obvious choice for the tour's main show, don't overlook the second set at Glens Falls, featuring that Uncle John's Estimated Eyes, which will really take you for a ride. Best first set of the tour? Bob did his best to make it so. Throw in a high time with Jerry on golden voice mode, and it may be true. We swore that was the show of the tour until Hartford came along. Check it out. Cornell suffers from being overshadowed by its own legend. Any time traveler worth their salt can't help but compare, contrast, and feel conflicted about the barn and the 3 May siblings who dwell inside. May 8th, 1977 is the perfect older brother, respected and legendary, constantly making it difficult for the rest of the clan to measure up. His parents proudly introduce him to anyone who will listen and even to those who won't. May 16th, 1981 is the stunning younger sister. She doesn't even try to compete, and her shakedown Bertha's Sailor Saint somehow elevates her to another level. A captivating beauty, she is fawned over for every move. She bears the family name, and she bears it well. May 7th, 1980, a day removed from the legend on the calendar, the forgotten brother. He has his own unique skill sets and continues to hone them, but he, his family, and everyone around him know he will forever live in the shadow of Big Brother. Try and get to know him, as we did, and chances are, he will lead you to a deep well of memories and perhaps unlock the key of forgiveness inside of you. Penn State was a hothouse, a riot of students and a blast of sound that included an incredible China Rider and the intense Feel Like a Stranger, He's Gone combo. The Maxell guy would have felt right at home with this one as the energy stayed at a constant gale force throughout the show, giving new meaning to the word Happy Valley. And then there's Baltimore. Had we known the half-step Franklin's opener was going to be that good, we would have prepared ourselves better. Fortunately, the second set of Playing in the Band gave us plenty of time to stretch any synapses that hadn't already done so. This is one of those exploratory beauties that can wrench one's mind from its physical body, disassemble, reassemble, and place it back inside your head without you noticing. The post-space Black Peter is transcendent, a homage to death that redefines the word grateful. The tour wrapped up in Portland on Mother's Day. A secret garden. A heads-heads show. Served to those who were diligent, savvy, or local enough to grasp the meaning of a Grateful Dead show in Maine. It was a culmination of life on the road and life in general. Truly a day for celebration. And whether you were there to celebrate with your mother or out on the road, knowing you're alive is the greatest gift of all. So perhaps that's it. As a fitting way to end this, the May 1980 tour, courtesy of the Grateful Dead. The gift of simply being there, not doing anything special, on an ordinary day, in an ordinary year, within an ordinary life, can sometimes be the most extraordinary thing of all, and one we tend to take for granted the most. So that does it for this week. However, next week, stay tuned as we explore another spring East Coast tour, but one further in the future than this tour. Here's a hint for you. The Dylan bust out during this run is overshadowed by a cataclysmic event, but once the dust settles, we aren't so sure it deserves to be. See you next tour, next week, on Grateful Shows. If this reading of Grateful Shows has given you something to sit with, I'd be glad to have you along for the rest of the ride. You can listen on whatever platform suits you best. The link is in the show notes. And if you'd like to go deeper, the written work behind these readings will be available as a complete tour book upon finishing the tour. Again, the link is below. A short note on Podchaser would mean a great deal at this early stage of the show's life. And if you'd like to receive occasional communication about the writing and what's coming next, the newsletter sign-up is in the show notes too. Thank you so much for listening.